I wanted to have you guys on today to talk a little bit about collaboration. And I sourced some of these questions from former guests on the show, Lucas, Bob, Sonia, and Suzanne. So thank you for submitting those questions. Now, the first question that I had here, it says, I enjoy bringing partners together from different industries to solve problems. What do you perceive as the greatest barrier to success in multidisciplinary teams comprised of partners from different industries? Rob, do you want to kick us off?
I see a lot of this. So working within sort of the R&D area, you know, everyone is rowing the boat furiously towards the shoreline of something new and novel. And in most instances, it's a case of actually, let's say, stage time, which I think can really affect relationships and collaboration when it comes to bringing people from different sectors. Everyone wants to share their expertise and share their, you know, their problems with each other, but some people don't necessarily provide enough, let's say, interest, or they don't have enough patience to fully understand and really hear the problem and hear the problem and how it's going to be solved. So I think there's a bit of a kind of a potentially an egotistical barrier there in terms of certain disciplines thinking they're either more important or they don't have time for different areas. And I think there's a bit of a need for more projects to have a bit of a sense of togetherness. And I think there's perhaps a secondary sort of a barrier, which is to do with this idea of differences in management approaches. And I think this is perhaps best understood when you start thinking about sort of traditional design and implementation versus something like an agile process, which is much more closer tied to things like software development. So there's perhaps a natural sort of abrasion between some of those sort of discipline areas. But I think for me, the biggest one that I've seen is this idea of sort of stage time and people not necessarily being given enough patience or interest to really delve within the problem and understand what's going on so that everyone can learn collectively and have a much better holistic image of how we're going about, you know, delivering a project or delivering a program.
Claire, any thoughts?
Yeah, that's I was musing over Rob's answer. I think I've seen symptoms of those kind of issues on the projects that I've worked on, Rob. Although to think about that slightly differently, I've often found that if I'm in a room with people from different industries, the fact that those people are from different industries is often one of the things that makes them try to find some sort of collaboration. I often actually find that the bigger issue is with people from the same sort of the same sector, but with slightly different specialisms, which maybe sounds like different versions of the same thing. So, for example, in highways, I often find that the structures engineers, the pavement engineers, the geotechnical guys, the drainage guys will all think their asset is unique and special. And this, the principles of asset management and trying to make things more consistent or to make things decisions in a more consistent way can't possibly apply to their asset type because theirs is special and different. So I often perceive that, whereas when I'm in a cross-industry type environment, the fact that those people have come together tends to make them try to collaborate. So I think that it is kind of a serious issue, and I agree with Rob's analysis about maybe it being partly related to ego and maybe perceiving that trying to make decisions in a more strategic, coherent, consistent way is somehow a threat to either individuals personally or the, you know, the team that they've built or the legacy or the position they've got in an organisation. So I think it's for the asset management specialist to try and find a way of making it not threatening and helping everybody to see that the broader benefit of doing things differently or more collectively.
Just one thing. I was just going to say, ego was perhaps a bit of a strong thing to say.
Oh, I don't think it was a strong thing to say. I think it was spot on.
Ashley, anything to add?
In fact, Claire and Rob have probably covered most of what I was going to say. I suppose for me, I'd written or think that, in fact, actually rushing to solutions is actually probably, I think, the greatest threat to actually getting multidisciplinary teams to succeed. That sense of, you know, look, we're under time pressure, or we've got some kind of outcome we need to get to. And so, you know, it's survival of the fittest, and the people who move fastest are the people who get where they need to be, which isn't definitely the best answer. The other thing is, I'm curious about the fact that virtual teams actually sometimes, in my personal view, create an artificial barrier. And I think that actually the way the world is now working makes it more difficult to actually draw people from different views together, because actually you've got an added dimension of barrier, perhaps, because of the virtualization. So I think it's something that we as asset management professionals and the asset management sector have to think about. And so, you know, how do we bring people into that sense of understanding that actually not everybody's going to have the same kind of perception? So there's a great article, a Harvard Business Review article written by Chris Argyris, which is, I think, called something like Teaching Smart People How to Learn. And it was produced in 1991, so it's been around a very long time, but it actually is a really insightful article about really trying to challenge the fact that the smartest people are often the people who are most challenged about looking for alternatives, because they already know the way things are done in their sector. So it's worth having a look, and I guess you know, definitely as people who are smart, we also need to think about, well, how do we draw people into other ways about thinking about old problems?
When you mentioned there about virtual teams and a sort of a lack of diversity, is that like, what's the context for that statement?
Well, I think that in many virtual teams, it's about, you know, project management, getting things done, doing the work, you know, achieving the goal. And actually, so in those kind of contexts, we don't find a great deal of time to actually just be and to think about, well, how could we see the challenge in different ways? So, you know, I agree with Claire, it's actually up to us as leaders to actually try to be more thoughtful in how we actually make that happen, because actually if we don't, it probably won't happen. And, you know, I don't have the solution, but certainly may need to be more thoughtful, I think, if it's virtual teams that we're working in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't really have too much experience on working in a virtual team, but I do think, I mean, there's lots of studies done with respect to being in the same room versus having a teleconference, or even these like really expensive boardrooms that it looks like you're sitting across the table from someone. There still is some value destruction there. And I mean, if you're looking for that, just Google it. There's a lot out there.
I think I was just going to add a little bit, which is, you know, there's actually a fair few white papers that talk about the idea of the strength of camaraderie. And you see a lot of this in military organizations, where ultimately the ability for a team to perform is fundamentally rooted in shared experience and face time. And I think that's something which is perhaps underplayed within a virtualized environment, or certainly within a virtualized organization.
Oh, that's interesting, Rob, because I've noticed that ex-military team members are particularly good at making sure they get in a room. So, yeah.
It's either that or they're just after the coffee machine that's in there.
I was going to say the pub after work, but, you know, whichever.
I always say when I'm on site consulting, I always bring a box of donuts with me, because it gets you further than you think.